Hey, hey, this is director, producer Alan Wills, and I am on Positive Power 21 with Jerry Royce Live. And when I'm online, I listen to Jerry Royce Live at www.spreaker.com/positivepower21.org. Y'all heard?
This is Minister Cornell Sean Gregg of the New Antioch Baptist Church of Baltimore, Maryland, Randallstown. You are listening to Jerry Royce Live.
You are listening to PositivePower21.org with Jerry Royce.
What up? It's your boy Kano Kingston.
Hi, this is Angel Sessions.
Hey, this is Pat.
Hi, I'm Teresa Powell.
Hi, Jerry. This is Iris Sandro Carter.
Hi, this is Paul Powers.
Hello, this is Teresa Bobby with Jerry Royce Live.
Hi, I'm Philip Barron. I'm live on the Jerry Royce Show.
Hey, what do you do? This is Boy Houston Saint.
Peace, this is Dolly, the poet, spoken word artist.
Hello, this is Ramon Marquis with Jerry Royce Live.
All right, everyone. You got Robin Lynn, and I'm keeping it live right now on Jerry Royce Live.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? What's up? This is award-winning podcast with the greatest podcast on earth. Thank you for stopping by. I'm your host, Jerry Royce Live Worldwide on Internet Radio, where you get your positive on. So when it's all positive, it's all power. That's positive power. This is a worldwide podcast for growth, wealth, and success. Thank you.
Think you know how drugs get in those little brown bottles? Think again. Set in the green hills of western New Jersey, inside the gilded halls of power of a U.S. pharmaceutical company where decisions are worth billions of dollars and human lives worth less. Nicholas Harding, a young executive at Marshall Pharmaceutical, finds his career, family, and life in jeopardy. The Farmhouse, a suspense thriller novel by Bill Powers, published by Donna Inc. Publications, available at Amazon.com or DonnaInc.org. Go to Bill's webpage at www.authorbillpowers.com.
You are listening to Jerry Royce Live Worldwide Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, you tell them, robot. It's me, y'all, Jerry Royce Live Worldwide. I want to thank everybody for joining us and welcome to Positive Power 21.org. Can you feel the power? Can you feel the power of 21? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am Jerry Royce Live. I am blessed. I am worldwide. Philippians 4:6 reads, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answer. You're listening to episode 391, and we have tonight, we have Minister Cornell Sean Gregg from New Antioch Church in Baltimore, Maryland, Randallstown, for some of us that live locally. And his bio reads, Minister Cornell Gregg was born on September 18, 1973, in Baltimore, Maryland, to Cornell P. Gregg and the late Karen M. Harkin. Minister Gregg was educated in the Baltimore City Public School System. In June 91, he received his high school diploma from Northwestern Senior High School. It was in August of the same year that he enlisted in the United States Marine Corps, where he served for 3 years. After leaving the Marine Corps in 1994, he gained employment at the United States Postal Service, where he's currently employed. In July of 96, that a fellow employee, Deacon Audi Roundtree, invited Minister Gregg to a men's fellowship cookout given by New Antioch Baptist Church in Randallstown, where today Minister Gregg is an active member. It was at the cookout where he met the founder and current pastor of the church, Pastor Kenneth L. Barney Sr., who also witnessed that led Minister Gregg back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the next 19 years, he also enlisted, he served in several ministries while serving in the active U.S. Army. That Minister Gregg received confirmation from the Lord that he was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was during this time that Minister Gregg understood that he must seek more biblical and scriptural education. In 2010, Gregg received an Associate of Theology degree from Covenant Bible Seminary located in Tacoma, Washington. He's an active participant in several ministries, which include Street Evangelistic Team at New Antioch Nursing Home Ministry and Men's Ministry, Prison Ministry, and the No Cross, No Crown Street Ministry Team at New Antioch. Minister Gregg believes that God has commissioned him to remove scriptural ignorance in the church, as well as bringing back the understanding and function of all spiritual gifts. Minister Gregg's favorite Bible verse is John 3:17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Gregg is proud father of three children and a grandfather of one grandchild. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Minister Gregg. What's going on, sir? How you doing? Welcome to PositivePower21.org. What's going on?
Praise the Lord, my brother. Yes, it's all good. I'm blessed in the Lord, and I'm glad to be on this podcast. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. All right, Gregg, I told you in the beginning of the show, man, I got one script question, man, and that is, who is Minister Cornell Sean Gregg?
Minister Cornell Sean Gregg is a humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not count it robbery to preach his gospel. I count it an honor. I love the Lord. I love the Lord, genuinely. I don't say that for a show form of fashion because we're on the radio, but I genuinely love the Lord Jesus Christ. Has my lifestyle been perfect? Has my walk with Christ been perfect over these past 19 years? No. I won't even lie to the Holy Spirit on this broadcast. But the Lord is still faithful. Amen. He still says he's still married to the backslider. In this case, I wouldn't really call it backslider. I just call it carnality, a carnal lifestyle. And so, therefore, God, over these past 19 years, even when I would walk contrary to the word of God, God would always remind me that I'm still his and that he still has a purpose for my life. Amen. And that's who I am. I'm just a lover of the Lord. I love people. I love to see, and my passion now is to see people get saved and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so that's basically me. That's basically me, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So we're going to dig a little deeper, man, so to, you know, my audience, man, they stretch so far, man, in the Maryland area, all the way down to the good Eastern Shore. You know, we over here on the Western Shore. You know, we're known to the Western Shore, to the Eastern Shore. Of course, we call them, you know, the people that live near Ocean City and got the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, even though it's connected to the two of them.
Yeah.
But what they like to know is, you know, what was Minister Gregg like before, before his walk with Christ and studying in seminary? So what was he like? What was he really like?
Before I received Christ, I was how can I say this? I try to be a player. We all have a testimony, you know, BC, before Christ. And so, you know, I try to be a lover, a player. I don't know, you know, at that time, you know, before I got saved when, just to give you a quick, give you some more of my background, I was raised in the church. You know, my grandmother was an evangelist. Sister Rosetta Gray. I grew up, as a matter of fact, I grew up in my home church, is New Hope Baptist Church in Baltimore, Maryland, or Harlem and Fremont. And so, therefore, you know, I was born and raised in the church, and therefore, you know, like I say, I had that foundation. But of course, you know, when you graduate from high school, and you graduate, you want to explore the world or you have to see the world for yourself. You know, what I'm saying, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in church, but I wasn't in Christ, and that's a big difference, and that's a part of my ministry now. You know, it's a lot of people in church, but they're not in Christ, and that's very dangerous. And so, therefore, you know, with all that biblical foundation, I still was lost. And so, therefore, you know, like I said before Christ, I tried to get out there and dip and dab in sin. And, you know, wow, brother, you know, it's been a couple of times where, you know, Satan was setting me up for, I wouldn't say he was baiting me in, so to speak. And so, therefore, you know, but I had a praying grandmother and a praying father. My father got saved in 1985. He belongs to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Baltimore. So I had those strong prayer wars praying for me. And they saw me going down the wrong road. But, you know, and I said, wherever there's a heavy anointing, there's also a heavy demonic attack. So Satan was attacking me. He was trying, you know, to lure me away from the Lord. You know, it was prophesied when I was a kid, like I was 10, 11 years old, that, you know, there was a calling on my life to preach this gospel, preach the gospel, the gospel, not this gospel, the gospel, because there's only one, that's of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, you know, but before I just was in rebellion. And not to be explicit on your show, but what caused the rebellion is my first, sexual experience when I was 17. And, you know, I lost my virginity at 17 and to a young lady from school, from high school, you know, that I met. You know, so, and I think that's what causes rebellion, because sexual immorality, you know, in any sense, it invites demons into your life. And that's what caused the rebellion against the Lord. And so that's what happened with me, bro. So I just rebelled against the Lord for about 4 or 5 years. About 4 or 5 years, I just was in rebellion. You know, so, I didn't become an alcoholic, even though both my parents were. So I thank God for that. But I did, you know, I drank, you know, I tried to party. Strip clubs was my thing, you know. Just all around about whoremonger. I got to say that. I was a whoremonger, brother. I was a whoremonger.
Yeah, yeah. So, womanizer, so, yeah.
Yeah,
womanizer.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. So, yeah, yes, sir.
All right. Now, you're out there doing your thing, you know, like your young men do, exploring the world. And I always tell people, you know, I think it's better sometimes to explore early than to try to explore late. You know, I get those guys, they got the family, they got the two-car garage, the rise they want, the nice wife, both good jobs in the community that you wanted. And then suddenly, you're starting to look at the short skirts.
Right. Yes. And
it's about time.
Right now.
You know, but it's because you don't know. Curious.
Right.
So you
got
it all out. You know what those places look like. So if you ever had an opportunity to minister to the young men, you know where they are because you've been there before.
Right. I've been there. So, you know, and it's a case of sometimes it's like, you know, curiosity kills the cat. So, you know, that's what happened.
Yeah, you got a chance to see it, experience it, and now you're in a position where when you go into the prison ministries, you know what happened. Some of the guys just went a little too deep and too long, and people play around so much that they don't do schoolwork, and that's probably what happened to a lot of those young men you probably ministered to. They just had the street caught up in the street.
Yes.
Now I'm familiar with Northwestern High School because actually my first real girlfriend actually attended that school, and Northwestern, they took her away. They stole her from me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
The school, remember, he walked up on this man. I was like, oh, so this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Break up right there in front of me. Man, so when I saw that, man, I had backflashes, man. Northwestern Senior High School.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. Yeah, back in. back in the days when I was there. We had the girls, man. We had the girls. I mean, that, you know, the key. They was some nice looking girls up there. They had them.
I know, because I went to Pimlico, man. They used to pass right by, and a lot of the girls that I went to middle school now ended up going to Northwest because they was on to that. All right, I ended up going to Polytechnic.
And, okay, good. Good school. As a matter of fact, not cutting you off, brother, but as a matter, I didn't even know what Northwestern was when I was going to high school. My whole mindset was on City College, brother. I'm a bookworm, so to speak, man. So, you know, I was, and as a matter of fact, in high school, I was a nerd. They called me off-brand nerd because I was a misfit. But, you know, I was a late bloomer. After the service, the Marine Corps brought me out of that, brother. So,
Wow. Yeah. That's where I was going next. And we was going to hit on that right after our break, because I know you probably got some stories to tell about those 3 years, because I know because my dad served in the Army. I have an uncle that went in the Marines, and one uncle went into the Army, and one went into the Air Force. So a lot of my relatives, Navy too, they went all the branches. I'm the only one.
Yeah.
And my brother, and I think my other, they went in the police force. They didn't go, you know.
Okay.
We were DJing. That's when Funkadelic and them was hitting the streets, you know, the clubs and parties. So we were going. And after Poly, man, I was thinking about, I wanted to go to broadcasting school. You know, that was my thing.
Okay.
So look, man, we're going to take a break, Greg. When we come back, man, we're going to talk about some of the good things you're doing, what came out of you being in the Marines, and what made you decide to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, that sound good, man?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, so we're going to listen to a piece by Angel Sessions, and she's one of the hottest contemporary gospel artists on earth. That's right, because she's blowing up Amazon every week. So check out Jesus Coming. She has an album out there. I always forget the title of the album. I see about 5 or 6 nice pieces on there I think you enjoy. So let's listen to Jesus Coming Soon by Angel Sessions.
Okay.
She's from
Diego,
California.
everyone. This is Tanika Gonzalez, spoken word poet. Whenever I'm online, I'm always listening to Jerry Royce Live. You can find Jerry on www.speaker.com. Positive Power 21.
Hey, everyone. Don't forget about Tuesday Thursdays with Jerry Royce Live worldwide on PositivePower21.org.
You are listening to Jerry Royce Live Worldwide Podcast.
I want to thank you, Tanika Joy from Sector 7 Incorporated. That's right, she's from Sector7Incorporated.com, big film and recording production company. They sponsor a lot of the events to go on the show and a lot of the guests, and we appreciate them 100%. All right, and we're talking to Minister Greg Sean. That's right, Cornell Greg. All right, he's from the Army. In 2008, while serving in the active U.S. Army, that's when Minister Greg received confirmation from the Lord that he was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What happened, Minister? What went on there?
Well, actually, brother, when I was out, stationed out at Fort Lewis, Washington, and I was a sergeant, and a fellow unit of mine. We were out there, and we were talking about the Lord one day, and We witnessing, and we just connected, and my brother and I, we just was having Bible study, and in his room we were having Bible study, and we were just talking, and while we were having Bible study, I just started preaching, I was teaching, but my teaching went into preaching. You understand where I'm coming from? And so and he was like, brother, we just started. It's like, brother, did you see what just happened? I said, no. Nah. He said, well, he said, well, there's an anointing on you, brother, that, to teach and, preach that the word. And it was like, he said, have you ever preached before? I said, no. And so therefore, I told him no. And therefore, at that time, he was going to Crossover Christian Center in Lakewood, Washington. That's where he was a member. And I went there and visited the church, and I started becoming attending the services, and then I connected with the pastor, Pastor Brown, and the pastor just had me preach. He said, "All right, well, you preach a sermon," and it just went from there. But as a matter of fact, I had the DVD from 2008. I preached a sermon and I was a little nervous. I had butterflies, but the Lord, and from that, and the Lord just, sometimes the Lord works in mysterious ways, brother. And when he sees, sometimes, when I wasn't moving in that direction, I was an active member in the church, but that's what the Lord wanted me to do the whole time. So the Lord kind of just gave me a push, you understand? And so, therefore, from 08 and just from, for the past 7 years, so it had to be of the Lord, because the Lord, and it was the Lord's doing, because this is, you have to understand, brother, I didn't even plan on getting saved. And the thing about it was, it is that where I'm at today in the Lord, preaching the gospel is the last place on planet Earth that I thought I would be and wanted to be, you understand? So, therefore, I knew it was of the Lord. So, the Lord gave me that. That push, son, this is where I want you. So I went, I went out and I started preaching started in 08 and has been preaching ever since, brother. Amen. And just the Lord has just opened up doors and opportunities for me to just exercise my gift that he's given me, but it's of the Lord. It's of the Lord because it's flourishing, it's of the Lord because it's prospering. Anything of the Lord will prosper, Amen. And it wasn't flesh. I didn't push myself out there and say, I feel as though, no, the Lord Jesus Christ, he called me to this gospel. I didn't, as a matter of fact, brother, I got saved in 1996. And to be honest, the Lord was showing me even then, through the Holy Spirit was showing me even through Scripture. You know, I would always open up the, you know, show me that, you know, preacher, you know, that the Lord wanted me to preach. You know, I would always read passages in the New Testament, you know, where Paul, every time I would open up the Bible, it was always there in bold letters, preach. Paul went preaching, or Peter went preaching, and where the Lord told the disciples, go out and preach the gospel. And I was just like, Lord, why every time? And I would even, you know, even almost 20 years ago, I was always wondering, how come every time I opened the Bible, it was always a passage about preaching. Whether it was in the Old Testament, where, I'm sorry, and I just read this the other day, Ezekiel, he went preaching, and I was like, wow, but over time, the Holy Spirit began to grow me, and I had to go through trials and tribulations with the Lord. You know, you have to grow in grace, as they say, as the old saints will say. So, you know, I wasn't a novice. No, I'm not a novice preaching this gospel. So I've been with the Lord 19 years, and as I shared with you, you know, it's been carnal, you know. When I went in, and I was collapsing, and I had no fellowship with the Lord, you know, so. You know, I had that part-time fellowship, and that's praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Yes, you know. No, you were, yep. you were led back.
Yes, sir.
Now,
praise God.
Now, our connection is the lovely and the beautiful Pastor Rhonda Bella with the big heart and her
yes,
powerful
sir.
Praying husband, Bombadillo
yeah.
Bello.
Praise the Lord. Yep.
Mountain Church. That's right. We have had a opportunity, my son and I have done live podcasts. We were actually there for her confirmation to be a pastor.
Yeah,
it was a beautiful event. We were so glad to be part of that. Tell us, you know, what's your connection with the Bellows?
Oh, well, actually, Rhonda Bellows is my cousin, my second cousin. As a matter of fact, my grandfather and her grandmother are brother and sister. So we're cousins. Yeah, we're cousins. Amen. Rhonda Bella's my cousin, and of course her husband, you know, that's my cousin-in-law. But you know, in an African American family, cousin is cousin. You know, so that's my cousins. But yes, Rhonda Bella, that's my cousin. Amen. My blood cousin, as a matter of fact, was second cousin. But yes, I share this. As a matter of fact, they had me preach for them I did a 3-day revival or 3-day program for them about a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago.
Okay.
I was saying that, you know, that anointing is on our family. You know, that anointing, God has an anointing on our family. She's saved and she's a co-pastor with her husband. I'm saved, I'm preaching. And so, you know, her brother, my cousin, Milton Ferguson, Alexander Ferguson, he's a deacon at the church, at our home church. So, you know, and then her sister, my cousin again, Jalene Edwards, she got saved. So, you know, so everybody, you know, that anointing is on our family, you know. So I thank God for that. So no matter how much you run, how you can run for the east, the west, the north, the south, God's hand is still on you. You can't run from it. Amen. And I thank God for that.
Amen. And Rhonda, she has some powerful podcast. She's very instrumental us going in this direction. Of course, it was a lot of different hands was on us to lead us to where we are today with this Christian network, where we bring all these young pastors together in ministry online. The world can hear them, and when I say the world can hear them, the world is listening everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful thing, man. Congratulations to your family. Because she told me the story. She told a great story when we first met her on the show when she was talking about her book. We had both of them on here talking about that book. And her story was, whoa, man.
Yeah.
Ooh, young lady went through all that. And she's a graduate of Western High School, which, you know, of course, that was
her. Yeah, that's your sister's school. Praise God. I know about that Poly Western connection, yes. Amen.
Yeah, my wife actually a graduate from Western, and my sister, and my sister-in-law, and cousins. And
okay.
My lady mama.
Okay.
Right. I had a good old time over at Western.
I know you did. Yeah, Western had, like I say, back, I went to school in the 80s and early 90s, high school. So when I used to, We used to leave school, me and my buddies, they'd leave Northwestern and come down to Western just to try to, you see them girls, man, try to get a girlfriend.
You could just stood on Cold Spring and Wabash, man, and seen some nice ones, you know.
Yes, sir.
Coming up with Baltimore, you know. So that's pretty much where we grew up in North Baltimore.
Yeah.
All right. And we're going to take a quick musical break. When we come back, man, we're going to talk about these ministries you got going on, man, and how
pretty
powerful,
cool.
How you're touching people and how they're touching you. All right, so we're
yes,
going to
sir.
Listen to one of my favorite artists, one of my favorites, and this is Kimberly Kimley, and this is called I Want to Be Yours. Here we go.
Yep.
This is Angel Sessions, and when I'm in town, I listen to Jerry Royce Live, PositivePower21.org, where they play my favorite music.
That's right. We're playing your favorite songs and your big hits right here, Angel Sessions, on PositivePower21.org with Jerry Royce Live Worldwide and Friends. So you check out my friends, all my podcasts is right here. 24 channels available to you right on PositivePower21.org. So you have your pickings. You have an opportunity to listen to the famous one. That's right, Kimmy Kim out of St. Louis from Elations Radio. You got Sabrina Williams, that's right, from the famous Williams sister, the tennis player. That's right. She podcasts right here on demand, right on her channel. Check her out. I can't remember everybody's channel number, but check out Sabrina. She has some really good shows. She brings celebrities and all kinds of great people to her podcast. And she will be here soon. That's right. She'll be coming here in October to talk to me on my show. That's right, the Ladies of Radio. We're bringing all the podcast, all the female podcasts, including Pastor Rhonda Bellow, T. Spence, Kimmy Kim, that's right, Benita Claiborne, The Storm, Sabrina Brown, the inspirational one from South Carolina, Miss Louise Smith, the publisher from Jam Vibes Radio and Kingdoms Builder Publications. And my favorite also, I Am Superwoman, Tina Hobson going to be here. Commanding Your Life, Beverly Fells Jones going to be on the show. We're going to have a ball. I know I forgot somebody, but Michelle Edmonds, that's right. She talks about how to take care of your colon. Tell me that's not important, Minister. All right, y'all. We're talking to Minister Cornell Sean Gregg from Baltimore, Maryland, New Antioch Baptist Church. And we're very familiar with Pastor Barney. He's been around here for a while. I remember when he put up that new building, and he was the man, you know. He was the man. Everybody was talking about Reverend Barney. All right. Okay. Now, you're doing a whole lot of things with Reverend Barney. I mean, yeah. Pastor Barney, because he preached like a reverend.
Yeah.
Right. I know now the political name is Pastor, but he preached like a reverend. He throws things. He doesn't play. He don't pull no punches. And
no
point. He's talking to you. He's sitting there saying, God, is he talking to me? Yeah, but you're in the church and you start saying that to yourself, you're at the right place.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, Pastor, tell us about these ministries. Man, you're like a busy bee up in there in New Antioch.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My pastor, Pastor Kenneth Barney, Kenneth L. Barney Sr., my mentor, my spiritual father, you know, when I went to him and told him that, you know, I felt as though the Lord had a call on my life for the Lord to use me in preaching. One of his first and pastor said, you know, he's him being the spiritual father that he is, you know, and him being wise in the Holy Spirit. He said, okay, if that's how, you know, if the Lord has truly called you to this, son, let's, you know, it's a ministry that And the thing, it was a in a sense, it was a test, because he said, okay, so you know you should get your feet wet for street ministry, and he told me about street ministry and nursing home ministry and prison ministry, you know. And so, as a young preacher, a lot of young preachers, the first place they want to go is to the pulpit, and not everybody's called there, you know. And so, Pastor, you know, he said, let me test your heart. Let me see if you're really into this, son. So he said, you know, if you can preach out there to the wolves, you can preach anywhere. And so the thing about it was, it's so ironic, it's so funny, it's kind of funny, brother. By me going into street ministry and going into prison ministry and nursing home ministry, I found that's where my passion is. Praise the Lord. That's where my passion is. Amen. So, you know, it wasn't a fearful thing. It wasn't a thing of, you know, I understand my pastor, you know, he was teaching me and testing me at the same time, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, teaching me, you know, this is true ministry, son. True ministry is into the people who into the poor, into the brokenhearted. That's true ministry. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ really called us to preach to. He didn't really call us to the poor. You know, the pulpit is fine. That's for the body. You know, when you're preaching in the pulpit, you preach it to the body. But what Christ was saying when before he left this earth, he wants you to preach to the world, the unsaved world. world. You understand what I'm saying? So street ministry and prison ministry and nursing home ministry, that's the world, the sick, the brokenhearted, the demonically possessed, the demonically depressed. You understand what I'm saying? That's who you know, that's the test and see the test. Are you really called of the Lord to preach this gospel? Really see if you called of the Lord Jesus Christ to preach his gospel. Because if you can preach out there to them, to the drug dealers, the pimps, the pushers, the prostitutes, the whoremongers, the homosexuals, the lesbians. If you can preach to those, if you can preach to those who society has so-called called the scum of the earth, if you can preach this gospel to them, you understand, and then come back not only once, but come back Sunday or whenever you get an opportunity to come back and preach to them, and whenever you get an opportunity to go to the nursing home ministry and preach to those who are sick or bedridden and really can't get out, and that'll test to see if your heart, if you have a pure heart for people. Nursing home ministry will test your heart for people, and prison ministry tests your tolerance for people. Because you're dealing with different aspects, you know, you're dealing with a lot of, you're dealing with, in all three of those arenas, you're dealing with different demons and different spirits, you understand what I'm saying? So in the prison ministry, you're dealing with a lot, you're dealing with murderous spirits, you understand, rapist spirits, you have dealing with a lot of, and even that, you're dealing with a lot of brokenness, a lot of men who've been broken, who've been bad, who've been abused, who've been molested, and so therefore, a lot of anger is there. So if you could witness and witness and penetrate that heart with that gospel of Jesus Christ, son, then you call. You truly are called. And come to find out, like I said, brother, that's my passion. I live to preach on them streets and preach in them prisons and preach in that nursing home. I'd rather be in there than to preach in the pulpit, because I understand it's easy. You know what? In a sense, it's easier to preach the gospel to these, to those three arenas sometimes than it is to preach to church folk.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, in some arenas, I know it's pastors and preachers that's on this podcast, that probably listen to the podcast, they'll agree with me. Because sometimes, because some, you get more response sometimes from sinners than you do saints. You know, because in the church, sometimes we get comfortable. We get comfortable with it. You know, we dress up nice on Sunday. We drive in nice cars. We live in nice homes. So therefore, you're getting service, but you're not getting. Sometimes you're not getting genuine praise from people on Sunday morning. You know, sometimes church in the 21st century, the church has become a social club. You understand? It's entertaining. It's not empowering anymore. It's not empowering anymore. The church is not really empowering. It's entertaining. And you understand? So it's not like the first century church. They were empowered. You understand? They were empowering people. They weren't entertaining people, because they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, the first century church had a lot of Holy Spirit. So it empowered them to change the world. And now the world is changing the church. You understand what I'm saying? The roles have changed. So I didn't mean to start preaching that, but I mean that, you know, the Lord just wanted me to say that on the, you know, on the radio. Yeah, that's what has changed. The roles of the world and the church have changed. Yeah, and I mean I'm not gonna preach politics, but a lot of laws that have been passed down in D.C. now has affected the church. Where and when, you know, brother, 40, 50 years ago, the church would never get the church to compromise with something that's ungodly and wicked as some of these legislations that D.C. is now passing and now trying to force on the house of God to enforce.
Yeah, right, you lose your tax credit.
Right, right. Right. So now it's a test. Now, who are you really for? Who's on the lower side? A tax credit. So now, if you don't marry two men, if you don't marry two women, you're subject to be taxed. Well, I tell you what, tax me. As a matter of fact, you can tax me all day long. I step foot, for God I live, and for God I die. For God I die. You know what I'm saying? The Lord, thus saith the Lord God, if a man lies with another man, as he lies with a woman, he says it's an abomination to God. They shall be put to death. And that's the word of God. So, I mean, how can you go from, I mean, it's plain and simple in Leviticus, and he comes back and they say, well, the LGBT community try to say, well, that was Old Testament. Well, let's come to the New Testament. Romans speaks about it too. For this cause, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that should not be done. And so therefore you say, well, you sound like you preaching hate, young brother. You teaching or talking hate? No, I'm not talking hate. I'm talking reality. I'm talking spiritual wickedness. And therefore, out of love, that I say this because I know you're on you. And nobody, and this, watch this, brother, nobody with all our church, with all the church compromised with that lifestyle, nobody's teaching them that the end result of that is death and hell. That's the end result. If you die in that sin without repenting to and coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, just like the drug dealer, the pimp, and the pusher, or the prostitute, just like if they die in that sin and they going to hell, if you die in that wicked, perverted sin, young man, young woman, or woman, man, you will die and spend eternity in hell. That's the reality. That's the end result of sin. Sin is death. Death, and that's what we're not preaching in our pulpits.
Mm-hmm. They burn.
And, amen.
They burn.
Amen. Amen. And we're not preaching hate. We preaching truth. Gee, our God is truth. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, our God is a God of truth. Yes, he's a God of grace and mercy, and that's the only. And I preach that on the corner, brother. The only thing that's keeping God from taking out this the LGBT community like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah is grace and mercy. Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ ushering in the grace age, and that's what we're living in. The church in grace age. That's what's keeping back God's wrath. Is that God just says, okay, you know what? I've given you a chance to turn from your wicked ways to receive my son, Jesus Christ. So when we say we're living in the last days, that's what we mean. We're living in the last days of the church age, of the days and age of grace. And you see it. That's the days we're living in, the last days of grace. That's what we mean before the second coming of Christ takes place.
So, Greg, so basically what you're saying, a lot of people are misinterpreting a lot of the verses of the scripture.
Yes, sir.
So they need Bible study, basically what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, Mr. Brady. That's what I'm saying, Brother Royce. The thing, it says in my bio, I'm a strong advocate against scriptural and biblical ignorance in the church. You know, like I said, I was born and raised in the church, you know, and my grandmother, God bless her heart, she was an evangelist. But a lot of things, I'm laughing, but a lot of things my grandmother said, quoted to me growing up was not scriptural at all. Was not scriptural. Now, watch this. Some things that she said might in some passages in scripture that would support her statements, but it wasn't scriptural. Prime example, watch this. My grandmother would say something like, if you make one step, God will make two. Okay, but that's not scriptural, but it's a passage in scriptural. Malachi says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Understand? That's what God was saying, you know, in Malachi. Now, there's a passage that supports that statement, but that what she said was not necessarily biblically verbatim true. You understand? Textually, it wasn't true. Now, but it's a scripture, a passage in scripture that supports her statement. She used to say something like, just things I used to hear, and even as a child, I understood, you know, but I understood what she meant, but the thing of it was an error. You understand? And the thing of it was, it's like, it really, I couldn't fault the ministry at the time because, like I said, I was a child, I was a kid, and so therefore I think that scriptural and biblical ignorance was passed down. It had to be. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, and so that's why I'm a strong advocate now. I'm seeking to go back now. As a matter of fact, now I'm in Baltimore School of the Bible, and because I want to learn more about the Lord, you know, and I feel as though how am I out here preaching and teaching, and I don't know the word for myself. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I need to know how to preach this in truth, and so I won't be in error. So therefore, that's why I'm such a strong advocate of biblical and scriptural biblical education, because I've seen so much of it growing up in my life of the era. And the scriptural, biblical, and scriptural ignorance. And the thing of it was, you know, Brother Saints, or I can't really call them saints, because all they are really are churchgoers. And you have a lot of brothers and sisters that are going to these churches for years, 20 and 30 and 40 years, and aren't saved, never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They sing on the choir. They serve on usher board. Watch this. They serve on the deacon boards. They ordain deacons and never receive Christ. Matt, watch this. And I was taking a step further. They preach in your pulpits and aren't saved. Excuse me, I want to say they preach in pulpits across America, across Baltimore, and across America, and haven't even received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's criminal, and that's crucial. That's That's criminal.
Got the degree.
Yes,
got the degree,
but don't get. No, sir. You have the degree, but you don't have. You don't have the decree. Watch this. You have the degree, but you don't have the decree. Decree of the Holy Spirit, the decree of Jesus Christ. You don't have the decree to say you have never a decree that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you have never invited him to your heart and never repented of your sins and accepted him as Lord and Savior, as Lord and Savior of your life. That's why you ever see a lot of not to go deep, brother, but if you ever see a lot of corruption and a lot of sin taking place in the church, because sometimes it says and a lot of times out of sin, because sometimes sin starts in the pulpit, and that's because if that brother's not right, if that brother's not saved, if the head isn't right, the body's gonna fall apart. You understand what I'm saying? The head is sick, the body is going to be sick, and so forth. Therefore, if your pastor is wicked and perverse and doesn't understand that he's caught up in biblical and scriptural ignorance, and he's not saved preaching the gospel, guess what? Guess who's the head of that church? Yeah, I know, understand that scripturally Jesus Christ is supposed to, he's the head of his church. You understand what I'm saying? He's the head of he's the head of the churches that he established. But a lot of times, a lot of these churches out here are false churches. And Satan is the head of them. I'm just going to put it out there. He is. He's the head of them.
Yeah, false prophets.
False prophets. So, which takes us back to this, these texts with this fault of trying to force us and the church to accept this same-sex law. And so, therefore, so what you have out here, to me, is a lot of false prophets that are accepting it. But the book of Revelation talks about that. So, I mean, and what God is doing is he's separating the wheat from the tares. He's separating the true believers from the false believers. Because how can I be a saved, baptized believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, call Jesus Lord, and then stand with something that's contrary to his word?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Powerful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, you know.
So you got your work cut out for you, man. It's like God chose the right person for the street ministry and the prison.
Praise the Lord.
I know they challenge you, man. I know.
Oh yeah.
You got some conversations going with those guys because they've been in hell and they don't have nowhere else to go. So when you come in there, bring your Bible. I know that's probably why you know it so well, because they will challenge you. And those guys know what they're talking about, because they're going to dive in that thing and be ready for you next time you come through those doors. Amen.
Oh yeah, yes sir. You know, I deal with a lot of brothers. Especially Muslims. I think that my biggest challenge is those Muslim brothers, sisters. You know, the Muslim brothers. I'm sorry, the Muslim brothers. And the thing of it is that because I almost became a Muslim, I almost joined the Nation of Islam. And so this was about when I was about 20. So I got saved when I was 22. So. And when I came out the Marine Corps, because I got the Marine Corps, man, being young, it was good in one way and bad in another, because I started hanging out with some Muslim brothers in there. And so, you know, and then my ideology was more or less coming out, you know, it was more on a black nationalist platform, you understand what I'm saying? Black against white, you know, and so you know, I was taking that stance when I was 20, about 20 years ago, when I was about 20 some years, when I was about 20, you know, and I was a young black man, bitter, angry for no reason, didn't know why I hated the white man. So, you know, for no reason, he did nothing to me. I wasn't born a slave. I was born in 1973, post civil rights. So, you know, just listening to a lot of propaganda, if you will. You understand what I'm saying? So, right. So like I say,
it was
you know, my
back then, but it was really popular too. That's when, you know, Farrakhan was really.
Yes, the early 90s, yes. Late 80s, early 90s, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people were lost. They didn't know where to go, so they came right in at an opportune time.
Right.
So you're right.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Right. So, even in that, my brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he caught me early in life, you know, and he caught me early and taught me early in life, you know, because, you know, right. So, you know, I could teach those brothers, you know, there's no salvation plan in that. You know, yes, you wear the boat. Yes, you're disciplined. Okay. Yes, you're stepping up being men, so to speak. You know, you're taking care of your families. You know, you're taking care of your children in order, your house in order, but your heart isn't in order. You know what I'm saying? If you die today or tomorrow, see what I'm saying? If you die today or tomorrow, where will you spend eternity? See, they talk about Allah and all this, but the thing of it is, even in that, Satan is even deceptive in that. Those brothers with all their instructions on how to live, how to be men, how to take care of their families, how to take care of their wives, you know, being married, even in all that, they'll still die and go to hell. Even with all that discipline.
Yeah, and it's funny that was one of the only things that came out good about that was that they were teaching them how to be men, how to be entrepreneurs, bring their own money to their household, you know, basically going out there and learn how to hunt, and then,
right.
you know, teaching their black sons how to be men. So that was one of the good things that came out of it, because they were hitting the streets, getting a lot of the brothers out of jail, keeping them out of jail. So, you know, so it was like you couldn't really, like, you know, down too bad because you didn't see a lot of the Christian brothers out there.
No, right, and that's the argument. Yes, right, exactly, and you did, and that's what attracted, you know, as a young black male from the inner city, from the hood, so to speak, that's what attracted me to the Nation of Islam. You know,
right. I'm gonna tell you, Greg.
You know, the discipline, huh? Yeah.
I was gonna say one of the things that you know that can always come out of these conversations that we're having on podcasts is like, where are the black Christian churches? Where are they? You know, I mean, some of them got the food pantries and the clothing drives going on and passing out turkeys, but the state of the black man is in the hands of the judicial system right now. I mean, when it comes to jobs and training and education and, you know, you name it, there's a whole lot of issues on the whiteboard right now that they're not holding nobody liable for right now. So, you know, it's a lot of, you know, you got people that's on the fence right now, man, about Christianity. I mean, they understand what, you know, who God is, but then it's like, well, what are these people? What are they?
Right,
are
his
they
representatives,
doing?
Right.
Fancy buildings, and they driving their fat rides, and they making fat money, telling everybody to give their 10%. And then I'm reading, you know, you can give this as long as you're working your way up to that. See, that's what people kind of like. I'm just gonna stay home listening to you, Jace. You know. So look, man, we're gonna take a quick break, man, because we're gonna have to get out of here. But we're gonna definitely have you back, man, because that's what Positive Power is about, man. PositivePower21.org is all about bringing conversation, bringing people up pink. People gotta learn from this stuff. We are introducing Bible study, and we hope that you'll be able to hook up with Pastor Bello, because she is part of Elation Radio, and of course, right now they are doing an empowerment women thing right now. But we will be having ladies at radio in here, but we also going to be having some panel discussion with the men coming up soon. As soon as youth football come to a close and we got more free time, we hope to bring gentlemen like you together with some of the other male pastors that's part of the roundtable at Positive Power 21. So we hope we can have you back, man. Of course, it won't be a 50-minute program. It's going to probably be more like 2-3 hours because it's going to be a lot of discussion come out of that. All right? And, of course, we're going to have to play devil's advocate, because it is a lot of conversations that's necessary right now. And you brought up some really good points and some of the things I hit you up with, because people are concerned right now. Who's going to save us, man? Who's going to save mankind? Are you guys going to stay behind your fancy glass paint churches and drive your BMWs, or are you going to start hitting the street like Minister Cornell Sean Gregg is doing? We need more guys like him because the brothers on the corners don't see us. They don't, and we don't even drive through there anymore to see our mamas because we moved them out and put them in fancy senior citizen home because, you know, you can do it now. Before, you couldn't do that. They would stay in their house and rot until they died. They died in their home. Now we got the money to put them in nice fancy places. So, man, we're going to have you back, all right, man? So, look, I'm going to get your closing remarks. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to my man Greg Harris. His brother had went through a lot, man, almost lost his legs, and now he's back. He is back preaching this. Preaching and singing. All right, it's Greg Harris, and this song is called He Is Worthy. So it's a quick 3 minutes. I hope you enjoy it. We'll be right back to talk to Minister Cornell Sean Gregg of New Antioch Baptist Church in Baltimore, Maryland. We'll tell you, everybody.
I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies.
God is worthy, and I will bless His holy name for all He's done for me. Gave me victory, kept my heart in perfect peace. I will exalt you just cause you're you, Jehovah Jireh. There's
no one like you, oh,
spiritual food. Your love is the only thing that gets me through. He is worthy of all the glory, and He reigns forevermore. He is worthy, and He's holy, to glory and honor. When I was lost, You came and found me, bound by my flesh. You still surrounded me when I turned my back. You never left. Laid up in the hospital, You gave me breath. Should have been dead when I came into this world, but You said that's not so. That's the best word I ever heard. You saved my life, kept me from poverty. I can't express all You've done for me. Yeah. He is worthy of all the glory, and He reigns for. And mighty and majestic is His name.
So I will bless the Lord
at all times, in my walk and in my talk, and with everything that I own, I will bless His holy name.
Hey, this is director, producer Alan Wills, and I am on Positive Power 21 with Jerry Royce Live. And when I'm online, I listen to Jerry Royce Live at www.spreaker.com/positivepower21.org. Y'all heard.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to PositivePower21.org. You're listening to Jerry Royce Live Worldwide, episode 391, with Minister Cornell Sean Gregg of Baltimore, Maryland, New Antioch Baptist Church, sitting right up there in Randallstown with the Honorable Reverend Barney. That's right. We've been there a number of times ourselves, you know, including New Year's Day, and we always had a good time. And just to piggyback on our song by Angel Sessions, her album is called Songs of Comfort. Songs of Comfort, you get that right out there on Amazon. She got YouTube. She got some of the best videos out there from an independent, but she does represent artistic artists. No, United Artists Worldwide. I think that's what it's called. All right, so check them out. Check them out. All right, now I'm making sure that's correct because, man, we got so much information. We got so many people we've met podcasting. Podcasting is a wonderful thing. Support our podcasters. They have some awesome shows, including Minister, that's right, Cornell Sean Gregg's cousin, Pastor Rhonda Bellow. She gives an awesome Bible study, and we hope to bring more people like her. And we will be on location, that's right, on location next Wednesday at Maximum Life Christian Church. That's right, The Sound of My Voice. Come check us out, y'all. We're going to be live podcasting at a Bible study with the Honorable Pastor Sherry Grant. She gives a powerful presentation. You have an opportunity to catch her sermon right here on Spreaker Radio. That's right, Spreaker Radio is Spreaker.com/Positive Power 21. You can catch Maximum Life Christian Church with Pastor Sherry Grant, and she what a show. And also on Periscope, we'll be bringing that broadcast live. That's right, live. That's right. Everybody having so much fun doing crazy stuff on Periscope. Well, we're gonna be bringing the Lord. That's right, God's word right to Periscope, so you'll be able to tune in. And we will be broadcasting all over Facebook, so you guys know when to tune in, because I think Bible study start promptly at 7:30. All right, Minister Cornell, you ready to give us your final words, sir? We appreciate you having me on the show, man, and we will have you back. We hope to hope you be able to hook up with your cousin too, man, and do give us another brilliant podcast like this one. Thank you so much. All right.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. No, I just want to say that you know, the Lord is mighty. The Lord is good. To anyone that's listening, the Lord does allow U-turns. And to all my people that's in church but not in Christ, get saved. As I made a comment on Facebook today, let's stop playing church and let's start being the church. And that's what I'm going to leave. Yeah, that's my final statement. Let's stop playing church and let's start being the church. And that's the only way the world will know that our God is real, if we are being real.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That's it.
It's not a fraternity or a sorority.
No, it's not.
Real. You got to get real. No. That's right. You got to bring it now. Well, like you said, man, you know, you'll start seeing who the fakers are, man. That's going to be obvious pretty soon. And right. And it's when you bring that up, because that was one of the big questions that The Storm, we got a show called The Storm with Benina Claiborne, and she asked, you know, how would you know that, you know, the pastors or the ministers is coming to PositivePower21.org, you know, podcasts are real and bringing it. I said they would know it because, you know, one, they're going to be responsible for monthly covering their expenses to have these airtime, and, you know, why are you going to spend money to be playing church, you know? Because people will know. You know, they know the deal, especially if you start taking callers, because they will call you, you know, and they will ask you questions. So you better bring it. All right, man. Well, like I said, man, we got to have you back. We will keep you in the loop. Remember, we do have a pretty powerful network. So if you can get with your cousin, she can make sure that can happen. So you can be part of some of these other podcasts that's happening right here, so you can bring your powerful message, man. Because you like the Storm, man. You guys don't pull no punches, man. You guys going to be challenging them, man. You're not afraid of them, man. You're not afraid to challenge the pulpit. And that's the key. And I can't wait to Rhonda and her husband, Pastor, Senior Pastor Bellow, start doing some of the things they trying to do on air, too. Yeah. They're trying to bring some Christian Internet TV, so that'll be powerful, man, to see, you know, you part of something like that also. Yeah. All right? Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Amen, brother.
All right. And like I tell everybody, you got to check us out. I'm going to be broadcasting about Periscope behind the pulpit, because that's what we're doing. We go out in the community. We're bringing a lot of these small churches, because I heard that the average size of a church in America is 50 parishioners. I was like, wow. I can't believe that. But, you know, but I've been visiting churches that have like 15 people, maybe 20. They come faithfully. Yeah, it's deep.
Amen.
That's really deep. Yeah, and
amen.
I guess you got to count the people who have church in their living room, too. You got to count them, too, right? Like five.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
But before I go, though, Greg, when we look at what you're doing, man, with your ministry, man, like how many prisoners are coming to you to your services, man? Like how often are you going in there? Let me hear that before you close out.
Right. Every Thursday, Saturday of the month, New Antioch Baptist Church. It consists of about 10 brothers, or anywhere it can vary between 5 to 6 brothers. I mean 5 to 10 brothers of us from New Antioch, which Pastor Barney, he's down there faithfully. Him and Brother Mobley, every third Saturday we're down in Brockridge in Jessup, Maryland. So I think that's pre-release. So we really don't do we're not on like the maximum security, maximum security side or down. But we're doing pre-release. But those brothers, we have about 50 brothers, about 50 to 75 brothers that come out. That third Saturday, and they want to hear the word, man. They want to hear the word. And some brothers have gotten saved in prison, and I met some brothers. They got released from prison, and they come to New Antioch and give them their life and join the ministry. Join New Antioch. So yeah, so that's powerful, brother. So they have a minister who's in charge down in Brockridge. They have a minister who heads up. He's their minister in he's their pastor in the prison. So, sometimes the Lord puts those brothers in there to really draw out what he had put into them. You understand what I'm saying? God has to put you in a place to draw out what he put in you from the foundations of the earth out of you, what you keep running from. The thing that preaching, some of them brothers been running from preaching. Some of them brothers been running from evangelizing. So God has to put them like Jonah. He has to put them in a well, and so their well is their prison cell. And to draw out of them what God has put in them from the foundations of the world. And there's a lot of those brothers down there. They're preachers. They're pastors. But they are just the circumstances of life that by running from God, running from calling, has put you in a situation where now God can get your attention. You know what I'm saying? Where God has to put you somewhere where he can get your attention. Amen.
That's right. He said, I got you now. And if anybody want to hear a similar testimony to that, they can hear Brother Charles. That's right. Brother Charles, he's going to be doing some, he does podcasting. And we're going to be bringing some of his live podcasts right here to Positive Power. We'll be streaming from Blog Talk Radio. So he does, I think, every Tuesday. And he witnessed the same thing. He said he got saved in the prison, and that brother had CEOs and prison. He said his congregation size sometimes was around 800 members. So I was like, whoa, that's deep.
Whoa, that's deep.
Have you talked to him, man? Because he's right outside of Virginia. So we'd be able to do something here. All right,
praise
I got to get out of here, everybody. And like I tell everybody all the time, I'm Jerry Royce Live. I'm worldwide.
Thank you for tuning in to Jerry Royce Live on PositivePower21.org and Spreaker.com/PositivePower21. This is a Royce Enterprises production. And don't forget about replay on Facebook.com/Jerry Royce Live.